about committing to ourselves. We've been talking about how powerful that can be. And I remember the first week when we started and I said, we're going to talk about the spiritual practice of commitment. And everybody's like, yeah. But for those of you who've joined me on this journey, we can all take a deep breath, right? Because it's not been that hard. And it's actually opened some doors to a deeper way of connecting to God. That's the whole point of all of this, is that we want to find a way for us to have a personal relationship with God. And so today, what I'm talking about as we finish this is leaning into life. So I'm encouraging us to commit to living a full, fulfilling, free, and expansive life. Doesn't that feel good? Doesn't that feel like what we're supposed to be doing instead of living the opposite, which would be small, contracted, constricted, alone, separate lives? You want to do that? You want to live a small, contracted? No, okay. I'm like, wait. Is that a new person? That's not a new person. Okay. All right. So it's going to be fun. All right. So, you know, I'm taking a little bit of a different approach to this week. What I'm talking about is us about leaning into life and not fixing it, not calling it wrong, not thinking that we made mistakes, not thinking that, look at the mess I made, how do I get out of this, you know, because we all get in that moment of thinking that that's what it is that we need to do. But what I'm talking about is how we can embrace the totality of our lives, how we can be present with what is, and then move it in the direction that we are called to move. Because whenever we try and fix something from the outside in, it never works. We create from the inside out, from the reading from Butterworth today, is that we live from the inside out. And that means that we have to have an understanding, an inner vision, an inner idea of our, first of all, what it is that we want, and second of all, what it is what's possible. And so as we know in God, all things are possible. So what are we waiting for? That's the question. What are we waiting for? Or have we allowed ourselves to even know what it is that we want? Have we allowed ourselves to even think that our desires that could be even small ones or the big ones, you know, are even possible? Have we allowed ourselves the time in our day-to-day life or in our lives at all to contemplate what would bring me joy? Because the Spirit came to be delighted. The Spirit of you came to this world, to this life, to be delighted, to be creative, to bring forth something new. We are not at the effect of the world saying what we can be or what we can't be. It's up to you from the inside of your knowing to bring that forward. And in order to do that, we got to lean into life. We need to realize what life is, and we need to allow it to unfold and inspire us in the process. Now, I'm just going to come out straight on this. I've had an interesting month. Yesterday, I facilitated the third celebration of life in a month. I did two congregants passed, and we did their celebrations this month. And yesterday, I had talked last month about my dear friend and spiritual teacher who passed. And yesterday, I did the celebration of life for Reverend Dr. Alice Bandy, who I traveled 20 years with in the realms of the spirit. I got some good stories. If you want to hear some really woo-woo crazy stuff, I can talk about it later. But it was an honor to do that. But I took a look, and this one was really affecting to me, and I'll admit that it was probably one of the most powerful and most difficult moments in ministry for me, was to stand up in front of all the people who loved her, all the people who were touched by her, and honor her. And because, you know, we feel loss when someone leaves. But doing all three of these celebrations of life this month, what I realized was that we got to live big when we're here. That each one of those people did amazing things and had amazing journeys. And it's funny, the group that I did and the three beloved people that I helped honor all lived really amazing, wonderful lives. And they didn't let anything stop them from traveling the powerful path of life. So what I'm talking about today is almost like a cautionary tale. We're not making it out here alive, people. you know? We're not gonna. We've been given a great gift of life, and we need to remember how important it is every day. We need to find ways to connect. We need to find the awe, you know, that moment of awe in each day. We need to find that place of gratitude for what is. Now look, some rain's going to fall. Life has its stuff. And sometimes it hits the fan. And sometimes we're in those moments where it feels like it's closing in on us. But because that fear comes up in us, we forget to look at the rest of the scope of all the stuff that's going on. We only look at the one thing that looks like is the problem. And so when we are able to widen our view, when we're able to expand our ability to see and to find the things that we can be grateful for, then we get back into right relationship with life. And we remember that this too shall pass, and that we are empowered to create something new. So that's where I'm going today. And I did my quote early, but Charles Franklin from Create the Life You Need said this. He said, "No one gets out of this life alive. So leave a footprint of your choice. You're writing your epitaph. You are writing it now. Life is not a process, not a goal. Life is a process, not a goal. Live it now or you'll miss it. We have time to spend and no time to waste." So everybody take a breath with me. It's not as heavy and down and a big downer. I was afraid that everyone's going to think, oh, Reverend Catherine's going in a downer today. I'm not, because one of the things that they find that contemplating impermanence, contemplating the fact that we are here for a small amount of time, actually brings more joy to us. There's a University of Kentucky study that found that thinking about death, or contemplating it, fosters an orientation toward emotionally pleasant stimuli. The study conducted by researchers Nathan DeWall and Roy Baumeister found that this occurs immediately and outside of awareness, a fact that may contribute to people's well-documented failure to predict how quickly they will recover from upsetting events. We've shown that the common response to contemplating death is a non-conscious orientation toward happy thoughts. Now, the kindergarten version of that is this, because I needed that. We think that thinking about death will make us think less happy, but in fact, it might make us think more happy. Our conscious minds don't know that, though, so we consciously avoid thinking about it. So we all get distracted by the fullness of our lives, right? You know, there's so many things, to-do lists. There's a whole new kind of journaling of just to-do lists. I was like, really? Really? I don't need more to do on my to-do list, right? Like, we can make ourselves so completely busy that there's nothing outside, and there's no space or no time for beingness. This is a difference of doingness and beingness. And one of the challenges that I find, and this comes up in conversation, I just started another foundations class, so sometimes people who come to the philosophy have a hard time stopping and being. Because for so long we have, and the beginning of spiritual practice and meditation, it can be painful to start to meditate when you first start, because your mind is going 5,000 miles an hour, and you can't let it, you know, you can't let yourself actually hear the feelings and the pain and the unresolved stuff that lives below those thoughts. We keep ourselves so busy with our schedules that there's no time to contemplate this. There's no time to think about that. There's no time to allow any of these things to come into our awareness, and it's because we're afraid of being hurt. We're afraid of the pain or the fear of what possibly could come up for us when we acknowledge that, yes, I've been hurt in the past, or yes, I'm afraid of what happens next. Or yes, I'm never going to be able to get what I really want anyway, so why do I even let myself think about it? But the truth is that you're cutting yourself off from the possibility right then and there. When we keep ourselves so busy that we don't allow ourselves to be present with who we are, one thing happens. You don't deepen your relationship with the God, with that power and that presence that created you and sent you off into this world. We are a miracle. Each and every one of us is a miracle, and this life is a mystery. And those are the only truths I got for you, to be honest. They're the only things I've got for you, that life is a miracle and that there is a mystery here. But we get to navigate this mystery, and we get to explore this mystery, and we can walk through it like we're walking through one of those, it's almost October, so like one of those scary houses that someone's going to jump out and get you, you know what I mean, like the scream zones or whatever that I hate, never will go to. Or we can look at it like, what's going to come forward next? Where's the adventure of this life? You are an explorer. You have come to shine your light and to create a life. And again, I'm going to say it, whether you're 2 or 200 or anywhere in between, if you are living and breathing and in this room, you've got something to contribute to this world right now. You've got a gift to give. You've got a light to shine that is unique. I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about snowflakes, because I'm dreaming about winter. And how they say that each snowflake is individual and they're all beautiful, right? Sometimes I love to look at those water crystals, those ice crystals, or pictures of snowflakes, just because they're masterpieces. They're beautiful, right? And each one of us is a snowflake. And so often we spend so much time looking at our friend and neighbor and wanting to look like they do, that we lose the idea or the understanding, the awareness that we are our own unique, gorgeous, magnificent expression of a snowflake. Not that there's any snowflakes in this room, but you know what I mean. So often we don't allow ourselves to be present to where we are and who we are. And what that is that's an understanding that life is precious and it's fleeting. It's a gift, but it's a gift with an end, with an end date, an expiration date. And we never know when that's going to be. Obviously, our intention is to... one of my practitioners read a book this year. I decided I'm going to live to 120, right? There's a book out there like that. You know, and yes, that's the goal for all of us, is to live a long, full, amazing life and then to be able to turn around and look back and just appreciate it, right? And that sounds really great, and I know that, and I will know that for each and every one of us, and I also realize that not everybody gets done. We never know. One of the things that I said yesterday was that we never know when a spirit has completed its gift to the world. And we never know when that's true for each of us either. And so by contemplating that, by thinking about that, we get to wake up to the fact that we got to get living. Right? Shawshank Redemption. Better get ready, get busy living or get busy dying. Right? And so... I went off already. Who knows where I'm at? Okay. All right. So one of the things that happens, though, is our culture is so uncomfortable with this. Our culture is not comfortable talking about death. Our culture is not comfortable talking about it or being present to it. It's something that we shun, we push away. You know, a lot of times over the years, people with illness go into the shadows and go hide themselves up and close the doors and pretend it's not happening. We're not comfortable. So what that means is that we are not taught how to process our feelings about it. We're not taught how to talk about it. We're not taught that it's a natural, normal part of life. And so we don't have the language. We don't have the understanding. We don't have the ability to relate to it. But what I'm saying is that if we spend some time contemplating this, and I don't mean in the morbid way, okay, we're going to rise in our energy on this, not sink. All right, you get the picture on that? This is not something to be really depressed about, and oh my God, Reverend Catherine told me I'm going to die, and oh my God, I got to think about it and all that. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? The idea here is that when we realize that we are, our time is limited, and that's just a truth. It's not a good or bad. We're the ones who are going to call it what it is. But what it does is it helps us realign our priorities. It helps us realize that those little things that we got mad about from Aunt so-and-so who said whatever at Thanksgiving, you know, 20 years ago, and you haven't spoken to that family in so long, it's not worth it. It's not worth it to carry that stuff. It's not worth it to carry grudges or feel like you've been wronged and all of that, because you've got too much time. You've got too much to do in your time. You've got too much to create. You've got so much love to give. Why are we focusing on the small baloney that we carry around? Remember, that baggage does not have wheels. So this... there we go. So but these cultural norms aren't universal, okay? So it is in our culture, but it's not universal. So the Bhutanese people, and I've always loved the learning about the Bhutanese, because if you've ever seen pictures of them, they're the ones with these ginormous smiles, right? When you should look at their amazing smiles on the faces of these people, and they're commonly touted as the happiest people on earth, but they contemplate death 5 times a day. And the practice of death meditation, they call it death yoga. That comes from the Tibetan Book of the Dead. And then there's a meditation from the Buddhist lineages called, I'm going to get it wrong, Maranasati? Okay, close. Okay, but in the words of the Buddha, he said this, "Of all the footprints, that of the elephant is supreme. Similarly, of all mindfulness meditation, that on death is supreme." And the Buddha encouraged Maranasati to live an awakened life. Even from our Bible, right? One of the staples of my celebration service is Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. I love the flowers, and can we just say for our practitioner emeritus, Julie Nims, happy birthday. Happy birthday, love. But the arrangement couldn't have been better because there's sunflowers in it. Now, for my whole life, I've loved sunflowers. They're one of my favorite flowers. I used to wear them in my, you know, back in the 90s when we all wore, like, I had big hair and I would put it up with a big sunflower in there, you know, and I wore them. I wore the color. It was the thing for me for a while. But I've always loved them. And so recently I was so happy when there's a new vineyard that we live above, right above us. The golf course was transformed into a vineyard. I was so happy about that. But part of what they're doing is they clear part of the land and then they plant a cover crop. And then they plant sunflowers in the space. So this has happened 2 or 3 times over the last 3 years since they've been doing it. And it makes me so happy because they plant like a field of sunflowers, right? There was one time when they first did it that I pulled over and parked. I was by myself. And I pulled over and I parked and I ran through the sunflowers. Like, I'm just like... And then I got back into my car and was like, I hope no one saw me do that, you know, because it just made me feel really good. And so, but I love the sunflowers, but I love them so much. And I didn't realize for so long, because I always buy them and I put them in my vase and they last for a very long time, you know, but it's all fresh cut flowers do sooner or later. And then I let them go, right? Well, I've planted sunflowers and seeing these sunflowers have reminded me of the cycle of the sunflower, right? Because it comes up, it blooms, and these are like those ginormous, magnificent, mega sunflowers, right? That are huge. And then what happens, they start to go, right? And they literally start to fall over, and they shrivel up, and they go, right? And so what they do at the vineyard is that they till them all in and all of that. But I still love sunflowers. I actually still love that when I drove in today, I saw those sunflowers and they were in their decline. And I was afraid of that at first because I was afraid that maybe once that started that I was going to have a weird feeling, right? Like I was going to have that feeling of loss or I was going to have that feeling of sadness or of regret that the time of their glorious shining is gone. But I didn't feel that today. I felt the truth of the life of this living organism that shared its glory with us. I know that those seeds come out of that sunflower and they feed the birds, and the birds take them, and they, you know, I'll probably end up having a couple of, they call them volunteer sunflowers in my yard because I live close enough to it that they would, sorry, I'm going to say it, poop them out in my yard and they'll grow, right? But there's this cycle of life, and no, I'm not going to go into the Lion King song, although I could, that it's part of. And so I'm reminded that even in the decline, there's glory and beauty. There's meaning and there's purpose. Even in the death and the next part of the cycle of the sunflower, there is something that's really important lesson for us to learn, is that we are part of that same life that is the life of the sunflower. I'm reminded of the Hindu goddess Kali. You know that any of my Indiana Jones fans will only know part of the story because Kali was the great destroyer, right? She's the scary one. But the truth is that Kali is the goddess who creates and destroys and then recreates. That there's a cycle that happens. And so often we focus on the destruction and the loss because we're afraid of losing what we've got. But nothing in life is permanent. Nothing in this universe is permanent. We are part of this, but we have purpose. And so we have to remember that when we have the opportunity to give our gift, and that means when we have an opportunity to extend a hand in friendship and in support, we're called to do it. When we have something that needs to be said with love, we say it. When we are seeing something that's happening out in the world that is just really out of integrity and out of line with what our knowing of truth is, we got to get up and stand up and count ourselves in. We have to lean into life. I love the words of Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science. He says this. What does he say? There he says. He says this. He says, from our Science of Mind textbook on the chapter of immortality, he says this. Nature will not let us stay in one place too long. She will let us stay just long enough to gather the experience necessary to the unfolding and advancement of the soul. This is a wise provision. For should we stay here too long, we would become too set, too rigid, too inflexible. Nature demands the change in order that we may advance. And when the change comes, we should welcome it with a smile on the lips and a song in the heart. We are called to commit to living our best life now. Thank you, Oprah. Right? Her words. They were her words. And so this week, what I want you to contemplate is, what is it that you don't think you have time for? What is it in your life that you would like to do, that you're desiring to be, to do, to experience? What is it that you've not even allowed yourself to contemplate that? Because something magnificent happens. When we allow ourselves to be honest and say, I really want to go to Italy. I've never been. I want to go to Italy. When you admit that to yourself, you are speaking the truth to the universe. And something magnificent happens. The universe pours itself forth into your experience. And opportunities show up, and possibilities show up, and pretty soon you're going to find yourself eating gelato in Rome. And drink, well, maybe, cappuccinos. Cappuccino in Roma. Okay, there we go. And the other way I was thinking about this is this. We're called to live fully, okay? So no longer are we going to leave the special soaps for the special occasion. No longer are we going to put away the expensive creams in our drawer until they go bad and we never use them. Okay, is that just me? No, it's me. I do that. I recently went through my cupboard because I've been Maria Kondoing my life. And I did my cupboard, and I realized I had these beautiful things that people had given me that I put away because they're too good to use. Okay, nothing is too good to use. You need to experience life. And what I know it's a silly example, but you get it, right? Like, why are you going to wait for some other day to use that amazing aromatherapy lotion? Why? Right? A number of years ago, speaking about the wine, I was at a silent auction, and my husband and I bought this gorgeous, big, huge, one of those big magnums of wine, right? And we saved it for a special occasion, which was 4 years later, our wedding. And it's because our whole family, you know, we just kind of saved it, and then we forgot. And then we were like, oh, we should open that at the wedding. That would be great, you know? So we opened it in front of my whole entire family. There's 25 of us in the room. We opened this big thing to have this wine. It was horrible. Oh, my God, it was the worst thing ever. And I remember taking it and, like, dumping it down the sink. Like, no, we're not drinking that. I'm not letting anybody try that, you know? Don't wait. It's time to lean into life. And so what that means is that becoming conscious of what's alive in your heart, because your heart is that part of you that is connected to God all the time. It's your lifeline to the one that has sent you, that has created you, that has loved you, which is a part of who you are, but beyond our little egos. When we spend time with our hearts, when we feel it, when we contemplate it, when we meditate with it, we have those messages. And as we start to do that and deepen our relationship with the one that sent us, at the same time, we realize that our time is limited here. It allows us to have that energy in that, I'm going to just say it, a kick in the butt, to get up and to make some changes, to step into what it is that we really want, because you know what? You deserve it. You are the divine made manifest, and it's time to live that amazing life. So this week, let's lean into life and see what comes next. And so it is.